Hi, I'm going to talk about the SE Linux problem that cast months long shadow, which is a story about SE Linux and tech debt. Before we start, do we have any real customers, real users, past or present?
Okay.
I have to start with the disclaimer that these slides are my own recollection of the events and nothing contained in them is official Red Hat communication. If you are interested, please talk to our support if you need information or need help with your systems. So who am I? I'm a software engineer and a product owner for content management and data collection in the client tools team. That's where RHEL, Red Hat Insights, Red Hat Satellite all meet. And indirectly, we support much more use cases like OpenShift or Podman Desktop. And our team is directly for RHEL. We don't have any true upstream. We target RHEL while supporting Fedora and CentOS indirectly. So let's start with keywords about what to talk about. Well, first is Red Hat Insights. That's a software as a service hosted by Red Hat, free of charge for Red Hat customers. SE Linux, which is a security architecture for Linux, and it's part of RHEL. And Insights client, a tool that collects data of RHEL hosts and uploads it to Red Hat Insights. This is how Red Hat Insights work. As you can see, there are some systems in the inventory. You can see we detected some CVEs. We know that we can remediate some of them. And you can see you can do wild stuff with it. Remotely update packages, change configurations to ensure your host is compliant and secure. And SE Linux is a kernel module that allows you to prevent programs from randomly changing content of other packages or programs. Every file, every process, every socket is labeled, and we ensure that nothing can go wrong there when it's set up correctly. Yeah. So let's start with the intro. Our team had a history with SE Linux. In 2022, issue was filed by our support engineer that Insights client is producing a lot of AVECs, a lot of denials. So a few months later, the SE Linux shipped an updated policy in RHEL 8.6 and 9. And a few months later, the policy had to be updated again because of complexity of behavior of Insights client. Which brings us to the specific topic of this talk, /root/gnupg. Also in 2022, one of our engineers filed a bugzilla saying that Insights client tries to create root gpg folder and put stuff in there. So around a year later, a year and a half, the cart was picked up by the developer. Then after a few days or weeks, the code review started. One of the focus areas was GPG, actually. We knew that its daemon may cause weird race conditions when it cleans up after itself. Our colleagues from Convert to RHEL and RHEL upgrades let us know. It took some months, but in February 2024, our QE engineer performed the manual verification and the PR got merged. Now we have to start mentioning dates, specific days. So on Monday 12th, the big Insights client outage started, and engineering would not know for another week that there are some problems. Actually, how does that happen? We are talking about RHEL, that's enterprise distribution. Doesn't have release cycles, gating, or component tests. So here, this is where we have to make a small detour. The client and core. Well, Insights client repository itself is RPM shell around the Insights core. The client is a minimal program that ships the configuration file, systemd, services, and ensures the core is up to date. The core is GPG signed archive that contains collectors and parsers that later Red Hat Insights use to display recommendations or ensure compliance. So what was the problem there? The patch was that we shouldn't touch directories in root. It's root, it's weird. When sysadmins look at the content, they can see some keys they didn't put in there. It's not how you should treat the system. So the task was to abstract GPG away from the rest of the business logic, and instead of subshelling directly with no additional setup, we created a temporary directory, used it as the home for GPG to perform all actions, And so when we have verified the payloads, we finished and cleaned up the temporary directory. This is the pseudocode for it. It was like 200 lines of Python plus unit tests. As I said, first we create the home, then we import the keys that are known to be signing the payloads. We verify the file and we delete the home used by GPG. That's it. Now comes the Selenox part. By default, GPGT, the label for GPG process, writes to GnuPG directory, which has label GPG secret T. Python stem file uses TMP by default, and because it's run by inside client, the Python code, the directory that gets created is labeled as inside client TMPT, temporary directory of inside client. Well, and GPGT isn't allowed to write to inside client TMPT, which is what this denial shows. The source context is GPG, target is inside client TMPT. You can see we are trying to do something with the directory and we get denied. So as a result, what happens? The denial results in OS error being erased. We just are not allowed to touch that directory or files. The unhandled error is propagated from the core into the client wrapper. The wrapper exits with non-zero status code as well. Again, it's non-starter behavior. And the systemd service that runs this transitions to failed state. Well, was it bad? For historical reasons, this service was configured as restart equals no. And it's been there since early 2018 or RHEL 7. And that's because RHEL 7 was the first RHEL version that shipped with systemd. Before, in RHEL 6, we used cron, which runs every time, no matter the previous executions. And this behavior was just replicated. It's been known that system or network glitches may cause the service to fail. And it was never addressed because other issues that were more visible were prioritized. So we have some systems that were used, that were running systemd service, and now they are not. So that means the systems are not collecting the data archives, and they are not uploading them, and they are not updating the core. So we know we have a problem. As I said, on Monday, the core was published to production. On Tuesday, the server-side team discovered that their component is broken due to the dependency on the inside client. On Wednesday, we released the fix into production. We just reverted the commit. On Monday, the next week, we discovered that the bug is affecting more engineering groups. So the next day, on Tuesday 20th, the first emergency meeting was held where we reproduced the issue. We published a support article. So both our customers and support knew what to do there, and we had more of them. So who was affected? It turns out RHEL 8.6 plus and 9.0 plus with SE Linux enabled. How will inside services react when the hosts stop reporting? Well, you can assign metadata to the host in inventory or in other services. And if the hosts get deleted because they are not reporting anymore, these configurations would get deleted as well. So we said, let's pause the deletion and worry about that later. And how many customers and systems were affected? We actually didn't know. Because Red Hat is a big organization. And the client tooling doesn't handle the services. So they don't really know how many systems there are. We don't need to. So how to get the numbers and how to even figure out who the relevant teams are? And there was no precedent on informing customers about these problems. What's the best way to send emails? How not to scare the customers? Some are really scared about their infrastructure because it may be running something very critical. So for 3 weeks, the representatives from engineering, product managers, support, and people managers met on a daily basis to prepare the next steps. All the time, discussions were constructive, and everyone owned the problem. And no single person was blamed for the problems. That was great. This is what we were working with. I can't tell you everything about this graph, but it shows the dip of when the hosts stop reporting. This is on a scale of weeks, but I can't tell you much more about it. I can't tell you which systems are displayed on this graph, but we knew that there was a drop, and then the system started slowly growing up. As the sysadmin started restarting the systemd service again, because they were used to it crashing. And why was it caught? Wasn't it caught? Well, the manual QE verification didn't check for Selenox alerts. The automated QE test also didn't check for Selenox alerts. The staging environments for insights didn't use the staging core. And, well, service engineers don't check their end-to-end pipelines or weekends, because why would they, right? So no one saw something was failing. And the worst part is that we almost found it before it went to production, because the same improvement was made also to the client wrapper. And the same week, the core patch was merged. The denials were raised when we were trying to make a release build. So my colleague created a bug report. We trashed it the next Monday. And we decided to to revert both patches before we investigated further. But at that point, that Monday, the core was already in a production. So what have we learned? And it's a lot. It's a lot. So first is that you should have some emergency strategy planned. Nothing is too big to fail. It's all built from built by individual people. It's all individual components, and all of them can fail. It is important to make informed decisions. If you don't have the data, well, you'll have to guess and hope your guess was correct. And you should be aware of what you are special in. You have to own both the advantages and the problems that come with it. For example, here, Red Hat is a software as a service first company, and Insights is an outlier. So the whole organization should have ways, documents, that will describe step by step what should be done to prevent issues like this. Responsible software development is about people, mainly about people. It's not that much about code in the long run. So developers should talk to their quality engineers counterpart to ensure they understand the problem, especially if they are junior engineers. They might need some guidance. So don't skip them, because they guarantee the software works, and if something breaks, they are the one who will also be blamed for the issue, because, well, they are the quality engineers. Why didn't they catch it? But they just didn't know. And talk to others, like extend visibility, establish contacts in the company with different teams, different parts of the organization, make friends. It makes it all easier when you need to solve some problems. For communication with the clients, I think it's far better to over-communicate, because knowing about issue that you know you are not affected by is far better than not knowing about issue that you are affected by, and you just have to figure it out on your own. And if emails start to get a bit annoying, you can always set up a filter to ignore that source email.